Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that I have chosen for this morning's sermon is the Gospel, which was read a few minutes ago. One of the best innovations that the telephone company ever developed was caller ID. If there's someone you don't want to talk to, a telemarketer or your pastor, you can look at that little screen and know if you should ignore the call or not. In the not-too-distant past, this wasn't that easy. If you wanted to screen your calls, you had to wait until the answering machine picked up. And then if you wanted to talk to them, you would answer the phone. And there was always the joke, are you screening your calls? And you say, no, I just couldn't get to the phone in time. But nobody really believed it because that's what we did. We screened our calls. In the days before caller ID, answering the call was kind of a gamble. You never knew who was at the other end. Well, there's another call. It's also a gamble, but it's a call you cannot screen. It's the most important call you will ever get. The call to be a disciple. As the account from Matthew takes place, Jesus has recently begun his public ministry. He has been baptized, he's been tempted for 40 days by the devil, and now he's going to gather men who would continue to spread his message after he had ascended back into heaven. If you remember from last week, Peter and Andrew had already met Jesus, and Andrew, at least, believed that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus had been preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And those words brought Andrew to faith. For Andrew and the others, though, they needed something more to become disciples. They needed a call, which they soon got. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When Jesus was calling the first disciples, he didn't put an ad in the Galilee News. The disciples didn't fill out a postcard and mail it in saying that they'd like to hear more. Rather, they were brought to faith, and it was then that Jesus called them. They didn't seek him out, he sought them out. And he was going to teach them what they really believed and how he was going to make their lives and this world completely different. So he called them, follow me. You may not have been fishing when Jesus called you to be his disciples. Knowing some of you, you might have been. But you were near the water. It was at your baptism that Jesus gave you faith and made you a disciple. The words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, are the equivalent of follow me. And you've been following ever since. Some church bodies teach that a Christian has to make a decision for Jesus. They have to decide to be a disciple. But this is inaccurate because we can't go to Jesus. We can't tell him. We would like to tag along and see what he's teaching, to see if we want more. We can't bring ourselves to faith. We can't make ourselves disciples. Rather, the faith and the call must come from him. One of the things that people really hated about Jesus was that he spent a lot of time with people who were, say, less desirable. He spent time with ordinary people. Jesus wanted all people to be his disciples, but it wasn't meant to be, and Jesus was rejected a lot, especially by the intellectuals and the religious people. So he gathered those who did believe, tax collectors, fishermen, ordinary people. They weren't scholars or pillars of society. They were just like you and me. Christ calls all people to be disciples. He calls you ordinary people. I think you're extraordinary. But strictly speaking, we're all average. And yet Jesus calls us to follow him. It doesn't matter if you're not famous, if you're rich or poor, young or old, smart or not so smart. You don't need to be special. And that is what is one of the wonderful things about Christianity, is you don't have to do or be special in any way. Jesus calls you to faith. He makes you his disciples. He calls you to follow him. As he says right before his death, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Follow me. Two words that are loaded with meaning and expectations. When Jesus called the disciples today, the four brothers, or the two sets of brothers, they immediately left behind their lives to follow Jesus. They didn't finish out the day. They didn't go home to finish up a few projects. They didn't wait until they were at a better place in their lives to be disciples. They didn't tell Jesus that they would follow him as soon as they got out of college or got married or had kids or retired. They followed Jesus immediately. They followed him even though they didn't know what being a disciple would entail. Jesus would teach them, though, that discipleship meant completely submitting to God and his will for their lives. They couldn't pick and choose which part of the disciple job description that they would do. They submitted to Christ and they would do all that he called them to do. They would even die as martyrs for the name of Jesus. I pray that none of us is called to a martyr's death. But even if that were to happen, we submit to God and his will for our lives as well. When he calls us, he is confiscating us for himself. He wants us to follow him and only him. And we are to follow him immediately. I know nowadays there are a lot of things calling to you, but they can be ignored. The call of Jesus, though, it can't be. We can't wait for a better time to be a disciple, because that better time might never come. What if we don't finish college, get married, have kids, or retire because we die? As disciples of Jesus, we follow now, and we never look back. We follow him right now. There was a man who wanted to be a disciple, and he approached Jesus about it. And he said he would follow Jesus, but he had to take care of some other things first. He'd come along later. To which Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." To be a disciple requires sacrifice. We may not like to hear that, but it's true. To be called by Jesus to be a disciple means that things will never again be the same. The first 12 disciples gave up careers, wealth, possibly even friends when they became disciples. We too are called, not necessarily to give up careers, although you might be, but to certainly give up on those things which may keep you from following Jesus as you should. What must you sacrifice to follow Jesus as he leads you? It's not appealing to think about giving up things, giving up certain behaviors or habits or distractions, giving up friends. But to be a disciple is a life of sacrifice. How can we follow Jesus and not be willing to sacrifice? He who is willing to sacrifice everything, his majesty in heaven and his life on the cross, so that we would be his disciples. And he wants you to be his disciple. His perfect sacrifice, his shedding of his blood, enables him to call you as a disciple in the first place. We didn't want to seek Jesus out. We didn't seek him out. But he came to us, just like he did those four brothers. And he called us by the gospel, and he gave us faith. He took sinful people, and he made them disciples. It's by his power that you can follow him where he leads. It's by his power of forgiveness that leads you to turn around when you start looking back, when you fail to be a faithful disciple. This is what being a disciple is all about. It's about forgiveness. You will not find forgiveness by following anyone or anything else. But you are a disciple, so you are forgiven. As Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the disciples out with this message of forgiveness. He told them to preach and teach, baptize and witness to what it meant for Jesus to do what he did. Legend says they traveled as far west as England and as far east as India. And all of them gave their lives for the gospel. They demonstrated their faith through their deeds. They proclaimed the gospel through their words. And the church we know today is a direct result of Jesus blessing the work of the disciples. Jesus hasn't necessarily called you to be a missionary or a pastor. But remember, Jesus makes ordinary people into extraordinary disciples. And you live out your faith and you proclaim the gospel to those who don't know it. In our gospel, we heard a passage from Isaiah that Jesus fulfilled. Isaiah says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." You were in that darkness. You were in the darkness of sin and death. But Jesus called you out of it and into a discipleship. Share this same faith with those you know who are trapped in that darkness. Doesn't have to be much. You don't have to memorize the Bible, although it helps. Just simply tell them what you know. Invite them to church and let them see Jesus living in you. You can tell them, being a disciple isn't easy. You may not be rewarded in this life, but to be a disciple means having a Savior whom we can follow. Someone whom we follow through every part of our lives, who we follow all the way to heaven. If Jesus were to show up on our caller ID, I'd like to think we'd all answer. We know it would be an important call. Well, you did receive that call in your baptism, and now you are a disciple. Being a disciple is hard. You can't think about what you left behind. You can't think about the sacrifices that being a disciple requires. Think only of the rewards. The disciples didn't know what they were in for when Jesus said, "Follow me." But they followed anyway. We don't know what we're in for as we follow Jesus. But like the disciples, we follow him because we know who he is. We know that he is the Savior who loves us, forgives us, leads us, and saves us. And this is all we need to know about being a disciple of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.